Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are chatting with Eric Wetterling, founder and editor of The Hedgeless Horseman. Now, Eric, we're chatting for quite a while off mic here, kind of recapping what certain stocks have done, all precious metals stocks, this year, when we balance it out with the fact that the underlying precious metals really haven't done anything. They have corrected, but in the whole scheme of things, they're not crashing this year. They're just almost in this slow, painful, grinding motion lower. But what you were pointing out to us off mic is that, look, there are a couple stocks that have done really well this year. If you are selective and in those handful, maybe 10 maximum stocks, it doesn't matter what the underlying metals price is doing, you can still make money. It's not the easiest of games to pick, let's say, under 10% of the overall stocks, actually under maybe 2% of the overall stocks in the sector, and say, look, this is what you need to be in. But fact of the matter is, you can still make money even if all the stocks aren't going higher in this sector. Eric, how is this, I guess, factoring into your strategy as we turn the corner here?
Well, like I recently did a video where with the title "Almost Everything You Hear and Read Is Noise," and I mean the point of the video was basically to highlight that if you invest in mining companies, look at the mining companies. Don't sit and look at price of gold or silver or people throwing charts around or what the sentiment is or what your neighbor think, you know, if gold is bottomed or not. Because there are quite a few juniors that the internal value creation is going to trump the swings in gold and silver. I mean, many growth stories will oscillate like crazy with sentiment. If you have a sentiment low in juniors, you could, you know, bet on even the best exploration stories going down 2%, like in the flash crash. That took everything down. Obviously, every mining company on Earth didn't drop 50% in value on that day. So that's just an example. Like, okay, almost everything you read and hear is noise. And you should only, as a stock picker, look what the trend of the company's fundamentals are, in my opinion. And of course, I mean, the most important thing is price. I mean, you can have a company that has a nice trajectory, has, you know, 5 to 10 rigs going, but it can still be overvalued, obviously. But during like sentiment lows, like we're seeing right now, I mean, pretty much every junior is down. And there are juniors out there that have done, you know, have created value, et cetera. So whereas a trading sardine is just going to oscillate up and down to the same levels, basically, a growth stock, for example, might have added, you know, doubled its intrinsic value, even though it's very esoteric. But it can also go down 50% during a sentiment low. And in that case, I mean, the opportunity is obviously, in my opinion, bigger because the price to value gap has increased, where the value gap in a trading sardine is pretty much fixed and tied to just the gold and silver price. So, I mean, if like Pierre Lassonde said, 95% of the value in this sector is created via the drill bit. So follow drill bit and follow that signal, the internal value creation, and stop looking at like, okay, silver is down today, so I better sell my juniors, my you know, let's say favorite pick, even though, okay, their project looks better and better and they're increasing the rig count. Why would I sell that just because some dude on Twitter said that I think silver is going to go down? I think, again, it's like, know what your strategy is. If you're a value investor, if you're a stock picker, stick to that, because that's going to, I mean, if you have a company that creates 300% in value over 2 years, so what if gold is down 10% over that period? That's going to, you know, it will go up and down and you will have corrections in the stock price. That's probably going to, you know, trade higher in 2 years. And like my strategy is, have the conviction like it's a bull, invest like it's a bear, and focus on the thing that matters more than the price of gold and silver. And that's, you know, the drill bit, for example, which a company can create a lot more value that affects the net present value of the company a lot more than if silver swings 5-10% over 2 years.
Well, Eric, just along that line of thinking where you're focused on the company versus just obsessing over the underlying metals prices, there are a lot of companies that buck the trend in both directions. Some crater much further than the metals prices fall, and some grow even despite a tough market. When you say that there's trading sardines that are whipsawing back and forth in a range, and then there's that other group, those growth-oriented companies, how do you distinguish the two? Because every company is talking about their drill program. Every company is talking about growing their ounces in the ground or their production profile. How do you, as the hedgeless horseman, find those growth companies before it's obvious to the rest of the market?
I mean, that's very hard, and that's why I think investing really is an art. You're never going to get it exactly right. There's no silver bullet. There's no perfect formula. But I mean, just some, you know, I've been making lists for myself, like, you know, keep this in mind, let's say. It's like, okay, jurisdiction, for example. Obviously, if you find 1 million ounces or 5 grams per ton gold in BC, that's going to fetch a lot higher value than if you find it in Peru, for example. And if it costs about the same to drill that up, let's say. So, I mean, that just skews the risk reward in the reward side favorably for yourself, because success will fetch a higher value. And if you have greater infrastructure, for example, let's say Nevada, and where permitting is easier to actually, you know, get a mine running, that's also something that skews the reward side. So there's a bunch of factors, and then you can have the narrative in play, the closology in play. And if it's an emerging gold camp, perhaps, I mean, now with the acquisition of Great Bear, for example, obviously I think that all else equal, the same results in that neighborhood is going to be rewarded more by the market on a continued basis, at least for a while, until people perhaps forget about Great Bear. So there's a bunch of narratives, etc., that changes. But overall, I would think that good jurisdiction, obviously good people, and especially the more of a novice you are, I mean, to have great people with incentive to actually create value internally for the company, and they have a lot of skin in the game. So I mean, and then it's, I mean, the most challenging thing, in my opinion, is Jesse Livermore said. I mean, being right and sitting tight. I mean, it sounds so easy, but that's one of my biggest problems, and that's actually why I kind of enjoy getting into private placements, because there is a holding period. And then I, you know, typically just kind of forget about the stocks. And obviously diversification helps in that department as well, because you don't have, you're diversified. So there's, you don't need to get every story right, let's say. And especially now everything is on sale. It's like, I have all the patience in the world. I'm doing more videos about sitting on my hands, so I can sit on my hands.
Well, Eric, let me just ask you a follow-up on this, and that is, you said you want to find the growth companies that will excel because they're going to be basically doing more to grow their market cap and their NPV than other companies will. But if you have a lot of companies that have 20,000, 40,000, even 100,000 meter drill programs, or they have these big economic studies or resource estimates on the horizon for next year, there are literally 100 or 200 or 300 companies that have that going on right now. So I guess my question before was, how do you narrow it down? Because you don't know which companies are going to hit. You don't know which resource estimates are going to shock or surprise the market to the upside. So besides the team and the jurisdiction, you know, it's pretty hard to narrow it down. So how do you personally narrow down, you know, what kind of things are you looking for that a company's doing that help you narrow it down?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, first of all, there's a study done by Kennerland Minerals, which points out the importance of, or the signal value, let's say, of early stage results. That if a company drills in the first 10,000 meters, if they have a discovery hole of, I think it was over 134 gram meters, that could really be significant, and that could be a 5 million ounce plus deposit. I mean, very esoteric, but it's what the statistics, let's say, what their case study found. So I've been more inclined to really start to look at the first discovery hole, let's say, what the gram meters is on a discovery hole, or in a small drill campaign, let's say 4,000 to 10,000 meters. And then obviously you want to see scale, because like Great Bear, for example, they had a, you know, a huge strike in terms of the Dixie fault, etc. So you want to have that long pipeline for growth. If you're going to sit and hold, you obviously want to have a big runway, let's say. And that's why I like, for example, SK Mining. I mean, they have so many targets, they could be busy there forever. And the same goes with like Elora Resources. They have an entire caldera to explore. But if you have a very small land package and you have a, like a, you know, potential strike of 1 kilometer, even if the first hole is good and all, I mean, they can't drill that for like 5 years. So I like to see huge blue sky potential, and I really want the even though it might be just one hole, I want it to be a great hole. Just look at a great example of this study, or how it proved to be, you know, kind of true, is the Ikkari discovery by Rupert. Their discovery hole at Ikkari was like, I don't know, 200 meters or 3 grams per ton or something. And voila, in a year or so, they proved up a 4 million ounce deposit. So it's like, I'm reminding myself about that. Okay, put very high value on any good drill holes in an early stage campaign, because anyone can drill, or not anyone, but a lot of companies could drill like 50,000 meters and get some good results, but not many companies can pull out a, you know, semi-blind to a blind drill campaign and hit a 200 gram meter intercept. But if you see that, that's worth a lot more than I think the market and myself usually appreciates, let's say.
All right, Eric. So it sounds really like you are looking for those very select few high-grade drill plays, the ones that are early on in a discovery, and sounds like you just say, buy into those and ride them higher, even though nothing is ever a straight line. But again, these are such a limited number of stocks in the sector. Besides El Loro, any other stocks that you want to share with us that fit this bill? Because look, everyone wants a high-grade discovery. Everyone wants there to be size potential. Those are some of what makes big companies big and successful, but it doesn't come with every company. So where else are you looking? What do you like?
Well, one recent company that I'm really warming up to is a new story to me, Northern Superior Resources, because they have three projects, so you get a lot of bang for the buck or a lot of meat on the bones. But they have I think the project is called TK, which is short for some long weird name I can't pronounce, and there was a discovery hole there. At like 13 meters of 26 grams per ton or something. So, you know, incredible gram meter intercept. But there was a bit of drilling around that. So I don't know the exact number of the let's say, the scout drilling campaign. But it seems that the company thinks that, okay, they got the orientation wrong, the previous drillers. So that might be one of those hidden gems, let's say, that they found a super intercept, and then they just drilled the totally different way. So that's one I'm really looking at right now, because again, there are a few examples of, you know, one early bonanza hole over good widths or high grade at least. So that's one I'm really, because if that's true, if they drilled the wrong way previously and they were just lucky to nick basically the actual zone of interest, that could be a completely different story.
All right, Eric. I hope this helps a lot of the listeners that are tuning in right now. And look, obviously, if you get into some of these high-flying stocks, if you get into the ones that are having success with the drill bit, man, oh, man, those can provide some great upside no matter what the underlying metals price is doing. Just understand you're not going to have a perfect success rate. And as good as some stories sound, they don't always turn out. But there have been some good successes in the last couple of years. That also helps with the underlying metals price that went higher there. But just even in this last year, there is still money to be made. You just need to be very selective in this sector. Eric, thanks as always for your time, buddy. Hope you have a very happy new year.
Thanks, guys. This man, I would just point out that I own shares of every company I mentioned, or assume I do at least, and assume I'm sponsored by everyone. So do your own due diligence and consider me biased.